Good afternoon, madam. I just happened to have outside a truck with half a load of tarmacadam. Would you care for a little bitumen slapped up your alley?
Hey?
A small amount of tarmac for your drive.
Some bloke here door wants to know if you want your drive tarmacked.
Is it from the council?
Am you from the council?
No, madam. Private enterprise above all things.
Now,
does he want any money?
Don't you want any money?
I'm quite solvent at the moment, but I could do with a little bit. Pinch here and there for some apple juice.
Yes.
Tell him to bugger off.
Not today, thank you.
Oh, I'm distressed by this. I have a full hot bucket. It's the finest bitumen in the land.
I say what? Ho, this is Brian. Call me Hitched Up to the Reindeer Gardener, coming to you from the corner of Bleaker and Nowhere, a.k.a. Ramblin' Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hesper, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramblin' Radio, episode 99, the last two-digit episode ever, on the Off the Cuff Podcasting Network. Ramble On Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to RambleOnRadio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. If you go to iTunes, pop over to Ramble On Radio. Subscribe, by all means. Every time you will get it within, I will post it, and you'll get it almost immediately if you're actually checking for it. Depending on the settings on your phone or whatnot. But yes, go to iTunes and you can subscribe and never miss an episode. Or just go over and leave a review. And if you leave a review, it's like a link to it. You know, it notices the reviews. It takes that as a listen. It takes that as a vote of some sort of confidence. And it moves it up the ladder in iTunes. You can go to Podbean at I Am Brian Dammit and listen to it there. Download it directly there. You can listen on Spreaker, Spreaker.com. Be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. If you do, if enough people follow, it helps if I, every once in a while, I apply to iHeartRadio, which to have this podcast on. And if you get enough followers on iHeartRadio, they like that. So, and you can also check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. There is some previous episodes that are videoed and on. Occasionally I post something there as well. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. And if you've been on Facebook this week, you've seen some videos, including Robert Plant as an unexpected visitor for Doreen. You heard it in the intro. It's kind of funnier to see. I had to really hunt this out because I couldn't figure out what I was seeing. And I kept hearing he's appearing in this movie in Doreen, and I couldn't figure out what I was. It's an odd thing, and it just seems to be one of those very uniquely cultural English things, or British, I suppose. And every country has their own little cultural touchstones that everybody else doesn't get. Here in Canada, Don Cherry would be an excellent example, who is a hockey analyst, but he's like 80, and he's been doing it about 30 years. He wears really loud clothes, and he's a big loud guy. And even people who don't watch hockey know who Don Cherry is. That, I guess, is the point. So I checked out. I kept going through this Doreen, trying to figure it out, and I gathered she was on a show called Benefit Streets, which I gather is a reality show of people who are on benefits. But then, for whatever reason, she got speaking engagements. She gets speaking engagements and has somebody write her autobiographies. It says in her, and what I actually think is going on is this is mocking the people on, like, this show, Benefit Streets, is kind of shows, you know, people who are on benefits and scamming the system, and it's kind of a bit of a thing over in England, and I've seen that in some of the British newspapers I check once in a while. But I gather that Doreen has done this Doreen person somehow has managed to put together a shtick where she's, it's like she's one of these people. Again, a good Canadian thing, there used to be a guy called Charlie Farquharson who was, would have been a down easterner, and he was very plain spoken and amusing in probably a way not most other people would get. But here in Canada, we love them, you know? And I'm thinking Doreen's kind of the same. She has a neighbor who does everything for her. She's just completely lazy and looking for ways to scam the system completely and utterly. And I gather it's a bit. It's a shtick. Like I say, somebody else, it says on her website that somebody else wrote her autobiography. So she had somebody write her autobiography for her, which is therefore not an autobiography if you, you know. So in this clip, she's sitting on the chair reading a book, reading a kind of a magazine, nosing through it, bored-like, and this friend who has a job and then comes and does all her chores for her, and is the person who gets to answer the door, and, you know, Doreen is rude and this friend isn't, and it's, you know, and I guess she's from the Midlands, black country, Robert Plant's part of the world, anyway, he's appearing in this movie, and I'm thinking if you're in Los Angeles, you'd in a million years you would not get this movie, and possibly if you're in Britain, it's your favorite thing, and it'll just be one of those things. But anyway, he does this bit. He's got a bucket of tarmac in his hands, and he's looking for a job to, you know, do her driveway, do a tarring job on her driveway. And so you heard the bit. But he drops a business card through the door. And the business card says, Plant Hire, Your Driveway to Heaven, Black Dog, Tarmac Limited, call Robert at, and there's the numbers kind of obscured by the woman's hand. So he's kind of being Robert Plant, pretending to be somebody else being Robert Plant. You know what I mean? It's a bit of a funny shtick. And in the book, and then the last thing, they go over to Doreen reading this book, and she's reading an article on Robert Plant. So he's a picture. If she'd have gone to the door, she'd have known who it is. It's kind of the joke. So that's what that was. That's what you heard. The other thing you heard was a bit of Star Star from 1975. I'm going to talk about this a bit later. Rolling Stones, 1975, Star Star. And the line is, Jimmy Page is twice your age. I wish he'd stop messing with my wife. And of course, during the 1975 U.S. tour, Ron Wood's wife, guitarist for the Stones at that time, ran off with, I think it was Chrissy Wood. I'm not sure, though. But with Ron Wood's wife. And I was looking for the quote in Led Zeppelin 75, but I couldn't pull it out quick enough. And it doesn't have an index, but there is a note in there that he knocks on a door that he's told is Jimmy Page's room to go for an interview, and it's not. It's the wrong room. And this girl answers, and later on he asks who it was, and he's told that's Ron Wood's wife. She's staying here with Jimmy. And another story from the tour, they're at a party, because Ron Wood like joined them on stage at one point. In Long Island. I guess they're at an after party or something. And Wood comes up to Page and says, how's our bird? How's our bird? I think would be more like it, but you know. And meaning, of course, how's my wife? So that's Mick Jagger taking a little poke at Jimmy Page and Ron Wood with Jimmy Page is twice your age. I wish he'd stop messing with my wife. From Star Star in 75. And I am going to talk a little bit about that. Not specifically that line or 1975 or Star Star. But the official... I'll explain it. I'll go through it. I've decided on an offbeat topic tonight. For no good reason. I have a whole pile of stuff I could talk about. Jimmy Page has been doing interviews. Jimmy Page is going to be doing some stuff. Robert Plant has been performing, and we've been beating these horses to death, I think, and I just kind of felt like, I want to do so. When I went to the topic-based, 40 or so episodes ago, when I went to topic-based, one of the things I wanted to do was just ramble on about something, anything sometimes, and I decided tonight was going to be one of those nights. I picked my little topic as a little off the beaten path from remasters and that sort of thing. But we'll talk a little bit about this stuff. There's a couple of things out there. Hots On For Nowhere and Sugar Mama. Hots On For Nowhere, something, something mix. It has been released. It was released last Tuesday. It's on the YouTube. It's on RambleOnRadio.com. As is Sugar Mama on RambleOnRadio.com. As is Presence's unboxing video and In Through the Outdoors unboxing video, which is just a minute of it. Shows you everything that's in it, right? The box set. So they're all there. There's been that kind of motion. There should be another song next Tuesday from Coda Presence. So In Through the Outdoors should be an In Through the Outdoors song. I wonder if I can find it quickly. What do you think? Could I find it quickly? Because it's it should tell me. I just got to figure out where it would be quickly in here. Right. I can find my purchase list, because I have already this. Let's do a quick In Through the Outdoor search. What do you think? In Through the Outdoor comes up pretty quick on iTunes, yeah? Here we go. Deluxe edition, pre-ordered. And if I look here, it says, In the Evening, Rough Mix, 6 minutes, 54 seconds. It gives you the time. It's what it does. It gives you the time, right? So we can, at a guess, we're going to get In the Evening Rough Mix coming at us next week. It's possible. I think there was a couple listed. They've changed iTunes, and this works a lot better for me. There's also It Keeps On Raining. If It Keeps On Raining Rough Mix, which has got its time listed, which means it's likely to be released before the albums. Next week would be 4, 5, 6, about the 7th, and then the 21st, I'm going to say. So that's possible. It's possible that all four, I'm thinking the In the Evening Rough Mix is the next one to come out, but it's possible you'll see both In the Evening and If It Keeps On Raining before July 31st. Seems likely. And like I say, if you go to iTunes and you look, the Coda Deluxe Edition, Sugar Mama is available to buy, actually, If It Keeps On Raining Rough Mix has the time beside it. It's the only one that has the time beside it. The other one too. And that's why I say those will be the ones. That's kind of a signature that those ones will be released early. So we can... we have that to look forward to. But yeah, so Hots On For Nowhere. We're back to the... I'm not so sure I hear much of a difference. It is a different tone to it. It is a different... slight different sound to it, but to say it's a different song, to say it's very different, to say there's a whole bunch of new stuff, would be incorrect. It's just what it is. So Sugar Mama, they released, it's a new track. It's just an okay track. Just okay. Now, if you go to Tight But Loose, and I'm going to, apparently... knock on the wood, Dave. I will be talking to Dave Lewis on Friday, which means next episode, next week, 100. Instead of doing a look back, and I probably am not going to do. I think I've decided against running a bunch of clips and stuff, just because it's just clips of me talking. It's not interesting, unto itself necessarily. They wouldn't sound different. Than what you hear now, you know what I mean? So I just kind of I've thought about it and decided that, you know, I could put together a clip of me saying stuff, and I thought, it's what I thought I'd do. I put together 4 or 5 clips of about 3 or 4 minutes each, and then some talking in between. But really, it'll just be, well, how would you know it's not me just saying this stuff now, or, you know, so. I thought it might be fun to go back and get some of the better moments, the more fun moments, the better rants, that sort of thing. And I might still pull a cut one or two, but not so much. And especially since we have Dave Lewis coming on, and he doesn't know it's the 100th. So we'll have a cake or something. It's on the phone. He's in England. I'm in Canada. No cake. Maybe he wants cake. He can have cake. But Dave Lewis coming on, and he has, if you go to Tight But Loose, he has heard it all. Not just what they play for the the assembled masses, which they did somewhere in London about 3 weeks ago. But he had an opportunity to hear all three bonus discs, or all four bonus discs, because there's two for Korda, and he has done a song-by-song kind of what you can expect review. Not so much a review. Here's a review from Dave Lewis. I loved it. It was great. Dave's infinitely positive, and he loves everything these guys do. And I like him for that. It's one of the things I like about him. Hey, we're fans here. And he lets being a fan kind of get in the way of, you know, what he does, which I think is fine. It's his style, and it's fine. And he even admits it himself. So it's not like I'm telling you something. But anyway. So he's got the whole thing reviewed. And the one thing I kind of picked up on was that St. Tristan's Sword, which we talked briefly about a while back, is actually apparently a John Paul Jones piece. It's all keyboards and stuff. And he was quite impressed with it. He quite liked it. So we'll see. We'll see. We're less than a month away from this stuff dropping. That should be. And I'm definitely going to go box set on In Through the Outdoor. I think that's going to be the first thing I do. That's get the box of In Through the Outdoor. I've decided that's the one I really want. But presents as well. And of course, I'll be reviewing them. The month of August, we'll talk about nothing but. And that's kind of why, and one of the reasons I wanted to get off. And then we got Dave Lewis coming in. And I'm going to try and get Dave to do, it depends on his time, I'm going to try and get him to do a double interview. Because this is also 35 years since the end of the Zeppelin. This summer was their final tour, and Dave Lewis went to a lot of those shows. And I'm going to pull out the book real quick here. Can you still hear me? I'm way over here. But yeah, I got the book right here. Dave Lewis is actually. Go to Dave Lewis's website. Get Feather in the Wind, Led Zeppelin Over Europe, 1980. And I'm going to see if I can find when the shows were. That's the key. See if he's got it somewhere. But the final show was in July, 1980. I know this. By the way, I'm recording on July 1st. So where do you think they were July 1st? Where were they July 1st? But what I'll do is I'm going to try and get Dave to talk about two different topics. Well, we'll do kind of the box sets plus his book that's out, and then I'll try and get him to kind of do, okay, we're done with that. Let's do another interview and do another 10 or 15 minutes on the 1980 tour and turn that into a whole other podcast. So we actually could have some good stuff going by the time we're at, and I think I want to do one. Looks like I'm going to go to Rochester, see the boys in Get the Lead Out. And I thought it might be fun to take my computer and my buddy who I got into Led Zeppelin with back in high school, who's going to be with me. We could chaw the fat. So maybe that'll be in 3 weeks, two, 3 weeks. So that's what's coming. And yeah, so the 1980 tour, Frankfurt on the 30th, that was last night. By the time this show drops, it'll be the 2nd of July, which was Mannheim on July 2nd and 3rd. Berlin on the 7th, and I think that might be it. So this, a week from today, is the last Led Zeppelin concert ever. And one of the interesting things of this tour, Jimmy Page was introducing Black Dog. It was the second song on the set, and Jimmy Page was introducing it. Often with a touch of German or wherever they were, that language in specific. But I want to talk, I'm going to talk a little more in depth about that tour probably in 2 weeks. One way or another, I'm going to talk about Feather in the Wind, because I'm not prepared for it. I've read the book a couple of times. I've read some other stuff on it. But it's a lesser-known tour, isn't it? I want to do some detail on it, so it's probably going to be 2 weeks. And hopefully I get Dave to kind of talk quite a bit about the shows he saw. He saw a number of the shows, and How exciting. He was 21 years old, 22 years old, following these guys over Europe. He'd get 3 days off work and jump on the train. Well, I guess jump on the ferry, jump on the train. And then, show up, do a night, find a room, do a night. And he stayed a couple of times in the same hotel as the guys in Led Zeppelin. So he actually, in the bar afterwards with them once or twice. So what an experience. So yeah, I want to see if I can get him talking about that. And I'm thinking it won't be hard. And if you want to know more about the Led Zeppelin 1980 tour, their last ever tour, their last ever show is 10 years ago next Wednesday. The book is Dave Lewis's book. Led Zeppelin Concert 80, Feather of the Wind, Over Europe 1980. It's got pictures. It's got pictures you've never seen before because they're Dave Lewis's pictures from his little Instamatic camera, including a picture right here I see of Jimmy Page and Dave Lewis. So hopefully we get all that done. That'll be a good couple of... So I want to talk about... And what I'm getting at, I guess, is I wanted to talk about something else. Oh, okay. Five Glorious Nights. Dave Lewis's new book. It's by... I forget the name of the company. Standard edition is shipping. Some people may have got it already. But within the next week or two, if you ordered it at £100... you would be getting it. I didn't order it because it's £100. And here in Canada, the dollar's a bit low right now. And the British pound is actually strong right now. So I'm looking at $160 or $170 before they ship it. So that's expensive. That's out of my range. Out of my general range for this sort of thing. But it's a picture, mostly a picture book. What Dave said, and I'm going to pull this line up when I talk to him next week, captures the visual splendor of Led Zeppelin at their peak on those five glorious nights 40 years ago. And it's the thing about those five nights, or the Earl's Court, the book's about Earl's Court, by the way, Earl's Court at the end of May in 75, 40 years ago. And we talked a bit about those shows. Blanking out here. Are we really past 40 minutes already? Not even close. Oh, it's a bad night. But look, when you visualize Led Zeppelin in your mind, all the pictures you've seen, and in so many magazines, so many books, so many pictures, so many of those pictures are from Earl's Court, those five nights in Earl's Court. A huge chunk of the kind of visual memory you have of Led Zeppelin would come from Earl's Court. Just a phenomenal body of pictures came out of those shows, amongst other things. It was likely, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, Led Zeppelin at their peak musically. But it seems to be it was their peak visually, too. And it's an interesting side of it. And this book grabs that visual side of it. So if you love the page, the pictures and that sort of thing, the really nice pictures, this is a great book to get, I suspect. I requested a copy. I have not heard anything from them. Dave is coming on the show this week, so he'll be talking about it, but he will not be, I will not be knowledgeably, I will not be asking him knowledgeable questions on the book itself. He'll have to kind of expound, which I think is fine. It's fine. I think... A very good interviewer sometimes don't read books before the interview. And you can draw out, because you're talking to people who haven't read the book yet, you can sometimes draw out information that otherwise you wouldn't think to draw out because you hadn't seen the book. So it can be an effective way to interview somebody. All right, so I want to talk about bootlegs, official bootlegs. And this is where the Rolling Stones thing came up. That is off a bootleg called... I got to pull up my music here. I'm going to pull up my music. But it's recently added. L.A. Friday 75 from the Vault series by the Rolling Stones. Rolling Stones have released a number of bootlegs, about six or seven, I think. From different years, and they They're bootlegs that have been put in the professional sound gear and cleaned up somewhat. Bruce Springsteen is also doing it. And I picked up a couple of Springsteens in the last 6 months or so. Cleveland, 78, and Long Island on New Year's Eve, 1980. Two well-known, excellent shows. And the Cleveland 78 Springsteen, I listened to on my iPad. In the past, I have it, and it's just one of the best. It's such a phenomenally good show, and a good recording of a good show. And that's the key. They get good recordings of some of their shows, and they clean them up. And they're not perfect, but they're you know, you'd be hard pressed. You really would have to be fussy audiophile style to sit around going, that's not very good. But they're not overdubbed either. You know, so it's not cleaned up, professionalized. It's the sound is improved to its best capability. And then they release it on the website. And it's $9 for the MP3s. It's like $13 for WAV or FLAC files. And then they'll send a CD for $20. And in case of the Stones, you can buy, they'll put it in a package for $350 with postcards and pictures and books and hats and mitts and all sorts of stuff. They'll throw in the book and see if they can make it work first. And some people probably race out and order the $300 versions of every one of them. I just buy the MP3s for $10. For $10, you get the whole show. And they're outstanding. So I have three Stones ones. LA Friday 75, Hampton Coliseum 81, and I have the Brussels one. I maybe a year or two ago I bought the Brussels one from 1972. And I had had the Brussels for a long time. And loved it. So I went back to look and they had the 81 one. So I decided to grab that. And as I was messing around with it, I saw the 75 and I just I bought the 81 and I couldn't download it. I was having all sorts of problems. So I ended up not buying it. I ended up getting my money back and then found it somewhere else. So, not a pity. I tried to buy it. And at the same time, I got the 75 one. So that line you heard was a little dig at Jimmy Page, a little dig at Ronnie Wood, and probably a little dig at Ronnie Wood's wife from 1975, the 75 show. But they're all excellent. And the Springsteen ones are excellent, too. So, yeah, I went off and bought the second Springsteen, the second Springsteen show that I was eyeballing with the money I got back from the Stones thing. So I've got five of these now. And there's different... That's two artists that I like that I've discovered are doing this. And I haven't really looked hard. But I'm guessing there's a pile of others who are doing this. And it makes so much sense. It's a chance for some kind of definitive bootleg material to get out there. The Stones aren't doing 300 of them, they're doing one from each year, and they actually asked the fans at one time, we've picked like 8 shows from this tour, which show would you guys want, which bootleg do you want? And so the fans voted on a website, and presumably the knowledgeable fans who know the bootlegs picked, and so one was chosen. I forget what time that was or which one that was, but and then about 3 or 4 days later, it was out. It was out. No muss, no fuss. You know, you hire a guy, you pay him a couple $100 to clean it up, in he goes, gets it done, release it. Done. They're touring. They're still releasing the stuff. They don't need to stop touring. Jimmy Page wouldn't need to do any much of anything. It's a nice little way to make money. And that's where I'm going with this. I think Led Zeppelin's show should so do this. And you can pick your shows carefully, and it's one from a tour. It's not lots of shows. It's one from a tour, one from a year, one from an era. Take your pick, right? One from 75, likely one of the Earl's Courts, for instance. Pick one from 77. Pick one of the better shows, and there's got to be a good recording of it. Pick one of the Nebworth shows. Pick one from 1980. Pick one from 73. Pick one from 72. One from 71. And that's all you need, and that's all people want. And they would buy it. And fans would buy it. Casual people would buy it once in a while. Would buy one or two. A guy like me would buy them all. Somebody like yourself might grab one. Okay, this is a favorite era. This has a lot of songs I like on it, so I'll go that. People of different eras they like. A good example is Wolfgang's Vault makes a number of bootlegs available. Wolfgang's Vault is Wolfgang. The guy who ran the Fillmore East and West, Bill Graham. So it's actually Wolfgang Graham. This is actually his name, I think. That's how that works. So Wolfgang's Vault is a website that makes a bunch available. He recorded all the shows and actually had the Led Zeppelin shows up at one time, but I guess kind of a, you know, cease and desist of some sort came up. But those shows are out there in good quality. Releasable quality. All they would have to do is in the studio for a day to clean them up. And some of those shows from 69 in the Fillmore East are legendary. Fillmore West are legendary. And it would be great to have one of those shows. So that'd be a show from early 69, the first album, the first tour, you know. You could pick one of those shows and get it out there. It would be such a nice thing. It would be something. And this is one of those things. This really is. It's letting go of control a bit, and it's something for the fans. It's a, you know what I mean? This is a bone you throw the fans. Instead of having $180 box sets with virtually identical versions of Hots On for Nowhere, just so you go out and spend an extra $20 on the new CDs or whatever. This is a bone you throw the fans, the long-standing fans who want some of this sort of material out there, and would love not to have to pay, an arm and a leg to get it, either through you or through, you know, because you know if they release the Nebworth, just off, well, the Earl's Court. We're going to talk about the Earl's Court next week. If they released Earl's Court, you know it would be a 6 LP box set. It would be 4 CDs. It would come with a complimentary DVD. Not so complimentary, though, of course. It would come, you know what I mean? It would be loaded with stuff, and it would be overdubbed, it would be cleaned up. They would take some stuff out. They might even hit the studio and throw in an overdub here or there just to make sure it's all good. Correct that note and correct that note. And there's no need to do that. And I'd rather have just kind of a sort of cleaned up version that's good sounding, not top notch, that I can spend $10 on MP3s to throw on my MP3 player. Let's do when I'm at work. And I think it's a kind of nice thing that bands. It's one of those little things bands are starting to do that is, I think, is significant. And I would love to see our guys do it. I would love to see this. And I'm really kind of starting to get on this kick because I bought these Stones ones. And I've been listening to these Stones ones going, and they're not that good a live band. They're sloppy. And Jagger's, he's so busy running around the stage, you can hear it, that he's not concentrating on singing. And he's more yelling than singing, almost. And which is all fine. It's all effective. But the energy and the kind of rawness of the show shines through, and how good these guys could actually be shines through. And I would love for Led Zeppelin to make that sort of thing available for us, for the fans, just as a bone you could throw us, Jimmy. And it doesn't have to interfere with your practice for your solo tour. Doesn't have to interfere with anything official. Stones release all sorts of official stuff live. Box setting. This is a little thing they throw on the website without much hurrah, without much to do. You can find it as a fan. And I do get email updates because I bought one. I get email updates where you can sign up for the email updates. But there's not a big effort has to go into promoting it. Not a big effort has to go into making it. And consequently, because you're not putting a big effort into it, you don't have to sink a lot of money into it, and you don't have to ask a lot of money for it. And it's a nice thing for the fans. And if anybody out there's got Jimmy's ear, you gotta talk to him on this one. And interestingly, Robert seems to have tried it. Robert tried it with the live downloads. And the Springsteen stuff is available at livedownloads.com, by the way. I remember Robert did the early Sensational Space Shifter shows. A bunch of those, about 12 of them, I think. And then he did No More. And I wonder if, I don't know. See, it may be a mistake to release. It depends on what you're expecting. If you're just dropping a show out there so that the people who are at the show can pick it up, or people who heard about the show, and the odd guy like me might pick one up occasionally. But I'm not going to buy all 12 shows this night to that night to that night to that night. And neither are you, and neither is anybody. Nobody's going to do that. So you wonder if he was disappointed in the sales. But if you do it enough, what did it cost to do? You know? Just record the shows, get it up on the website, and make sure people at the audience know that this is going to be available for download at such and such a place. People would do it. People would love to have, I went to that show and it was great. I'd love to have a copy of the show. But beyond that, he seems to have stopped doing it. And I guess what I was saying was, I assume that he wasn't as pleased with the sales as he could have been. But wouldn't it have been nice if he'd have done the same thing? If he'd have said, let's go back to 1982 or 1981, that first tour of mine, and let's pick a show and let's put that on there. And then let's go to the next tour, and, you know, Now and Zen tour, and do show. So one every year, one every couple of years, a new show every couple of years, depending on the eras. Okay, we're basically doing the same set list night in, night out. For this 2-year period, so we'll pick one show in that 2-year period, and that's all you need. And then the fans can go and pick their favorite eras, and listen to shows from it. So Robert kind of dipped his toe in the water and then seemed to have pulled back. And it would have been nice to see him continue it on, and then maybe he could have. But yeah, this is one of those things the guys have got to get up on. It's never mind fooling around with all the other stuff. Just, this is the project, and it doesn't have to be a big project. It doesn't have to take any of your time. It's not something that you can't do something else. That's a material point. That puts new material out there for us to buy while Jimmy's doing whatever he has to do to get ready to play. And he doesn't have to be dicking around. You can hire a guy to just, your job is to make it sound good. We trust you. You're a pro. You can hire people whose job, find out who the Stones have doing theirs, build the website, sell it, send the money, send the money care of Jimmy Page to this address. That's all they need to do. And it would be lovely to see them doing it. It would be great. And the Stones can do it, release new stuff, and still tour. And still release new live shows. And still release DVDs from this tour, that tour, or from 60 years ago. It's all doable to these guys. And why? I don't know. Why it has to be so complicated and stuff. And I saw a guy on For Bad Shoulders Only. This kind of subject came up there. And he said, well, it's not as easy as you think. I was talking to some guy who's in the business, and it's not as easy as you think just to make those things workable. Well, the Stones did it in days. They went from having a fan votes over, and like 3 days later, the show was up. So it's not that hard. It's not that complicated. And it doesn't have to be that. That's the point. It doesn't have to be complicated. And therefore, it doesn't have to be expensive. That's why it's not expensive. It's just so obvious. It's such an obvious thing. Just do it, guys. Just do it. Throw your fans a frickin' bone. Anyway, that was kind of the topic I wanted to get on tonight. And if I get a chance, last time I had Dave Lewis on, I kind of asked him one question and off he went. And so I don't know how much chance I'm going to get to throw extra questions in there and stuff. I guess is what I'm saying. But if I get a chance, I'll broach the subject with Dave Lewis. But I'm guessing not. Anyway, that's it. That's the last for the double-digit podcast. It's going to be triple-digit from here on out, folks. That's it for Ramble On Radio, episode 99. Check RambleOnRadio.com for notes on this week's podcast. For Led Zeppelin news, reviews, and any links I might have happened mentioned in today's podcast. And I was going to say, I don't have the Doreen video up on the website. I have it up on Facebook. I will try and get it up on the website in the next day or two. But I have all the other videos I mentioned on the website. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. Do not forget to leave a review. Listen on Spreaker, and be sure to follow Ramble On Radio on Spreaker. Check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 99, the Wayne Gretzky episode. Keep it cooling.
I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.
Must be an easier way to make ends meet.